Pastor Andrew a hand as he comes forward. And the creative guys.
Oh, come on, give the creative team a hand. That was amazing. Turn the person next to you and just say, that was great worship, and you may be seated. Does anyone else get raptured in worship, or is it just me? Love it. Heaven to me is somewhere quiet with some worship playing in the background and talking to God. We're in the book of Ephesians. Who's reading the book of Ephesians? Having a wander through it? Get in there and have a look. Come on, come through it with us. Start to read it. Just before we go into that, though, we've been given a date in September where there's going to be a fundraiser for us in Parliament House for domestic violence. So pray for that, because it's quite significant. There's going to be some key people there. They've decided to put it on for us. This is in State Parliament in their room, just for one of the programs that we run here. And so it's going to be a bit of a big deal. So pray for us. It's quite an honor to have someone put a lunch or whatever you call it and gather around and for us as a church and what we do in the community, recognize that and not just recognize it, but they're actually bringing people in to help support us. So isn't that good? Everyone say amen. So many good things going on. Ephesians 1. We got into that and I'm not going to do a lot of recapping. So you're just going to have to go get the, otherwise we're not going to go anywhere. It's going to take us too long. So we looked at the book of Ephesians, we looked at the apostle Paul. If you don't know who he is, just turn the person next to you and go, who's Paul? The apostle Paul. They'll give you a two-minute description. You can grab a podcast from last week. We looked at this book of Ephesians and we looked at the city of Ephesus, city unlike us, very much like us, sorry, very, very much like us, as in, not unlike us was the word I missed. And around 250,000 people. So a big city for those days. A port city like us. And a multicultural city, a trading city. Lots of different religions and not a godly city. Paul turns up, goes into that city, has a riot. And then it goes into a coliseum where there's 25,000 people gathered. And do you know what Paul does? He starts to preach. That's pretty good, isn't it? He looks in there and goes, oh, I've got an audience. And he begins to preach, causes a riot. He stays there for 3 years, which is unlike the Apostle Paul, to establish a church and a training center to send out people to plant churches. Amen? Then we got on to the first part of the book of Ephesians. We looked at chapter 1. We looked at verse 1. And I, we didn't get far. It's not my fault. Sorry about that. We camped in onto the topic, and it's quite a big topic. Is a Christian primarily, is your identity as a Christian as a sinner or a saint? You might think, well, hey, of course it's, but are you, I've heard a lot of people say to me, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. If you're a believer, change that terminology. You can say you were a sinner saved by grace, but don't you come up to me and tell me you're a sinner saved by grace. I'll tell you and I'll point you back to the Bible. The fact is you are a saint dealing with your sin. Amen? Completely different premise. You can understand the enemy loves to identify you with your sin. Amen? God wants you to identify, he wants to identify you with your Savior. So if you think you're a sinner, and that's your identity, then you're going to listen to that words, that voice, and it's like comes in the form of condemnation. But if you actually believe and know in your heart that you are a saint, then you're going to go, hold on, that's telling me that I'm, it keeps on telling me about my sin. And you're going to start listening to God. He'll talk to you through conviction, which is very different to condemnation. Condemnation draws you away from God, tells you you're worthless. Conviction draws you closer. You can be better. We can get through this. We can move on. So we dealt with that. Was that all right? If you haven't got that in its entirety, please go and get the podcast. It's sitting there waiting for you. Listen to it. It only takes 3 hours. No, we only spoke for 35, 40 minutes. So we're into the next part, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. If you've got your Bible, go there. If you haven't, it's up on the screen. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And everyone said amen. God, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you that it never returns void. We are not playing games here today. We are releasing it into our lives. We're unlocking your word, God, and it is going to bring revelation. It's going to bring right believing in our lives. And God, it's going to release right living in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, number one, I don't want you to ever say that as a believer, we shouldn't talk about being blessed. There's tones out there. It says, stop talking about the blessing of God. Well, you know, I love Paul because he starts out in Ephesians and he only gets to verse 3 and he starts talking about how you're blessed. Amen? You are blessed. You need to understand that you are blessed. And the Bible goes on and says that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Do you get your head around that? Every spiritual blessing. See, we live in a physical world, right? We do. A physical world. This is physical. And we need to understand that there is a very strong, very compelling, there is an amazing spiritual world all around us. If you don't get that, if you haven't ever tapped into that or seen that, and you don't have to have a vision of a demon to see that or what have you, you might have seen something. You might have had some manifestation in your life that makes you aware there are other nations across this earth that are very, very aware of the spiritual. But here in our Western culture, we tend to toss it all to the side and we tend to not even think about it and no one wants to talk about it. And if you go see quite often a secular psychologist or counselor who doesn't know God, they'll talk about you, they'll talk about your mentality, your personality, but they won't touch on the spiritual. They won't talk about your soul. Amen? That's why we have Christian counselors. Amen? Because how can you talk about you without talking about your spirit? Doesn't make sense to me. So let me just tell you, you know what? Let me just bring this down and give you an understanding. There is a micro world. Do you know what a micro world is? There is a whole microscopic world that you cannot see. So I'm going to give you a little picture of a friend of mine. Let's call him Dusty. Everyone say Dusty. There he is. Everyone say Dusty. That is a dust mite. And that little puppy is crawling all over your bed. It is all over your pillow. As much as you think your pillow hasn't got one of those on it, I can tell you your pillow has got a lot of those on it. You can think, no, Pastor Andrew, my pillow's clean. I'm telling you that baby is crawling right now, just waiting for you to come home. You lay your head down at night and that little puppy's going to crawl all over you and around you. Get around you. That is a dust mite. Is that full on or what? That is just scary. That's like something. So Aiden's like, whoa, that's so cool. That's out there. That is a dust mite. And they are everywhere and they are on everything. And that's just the beginning. I can sit here and show you slide after slide after slide of microorganisms that are just around you. I could show you what a virus looks like, but I won't. We're not here to do that. So that's a micro world. So if you can understand there's a micro world, right, that you just need to get a telescope to look at and see, quite a large one, not your little home grown one, you need like an electron telescope, big thing, you can see that. The reality is we live in a spiritual world. And it's real. And you got to understand that God himself is a spiritual being. Amen? So it's not hard for us to comprehend that we live with a spiritual realm around us. So Paul is telling us that we have been given every possible spiritual blessing that we could be giving in the spiritual realm. In other words, God can't improve on this. He's given you everything. The reality is, Christ has conquered whatever he needed to conquer in the spiritual realm. Are you with me? It's done. It's conquered. Now, we in the physical world, we have still got the manifestation of sin in people's lives, correct? But in the spiritual realm, God has conquered. He has conquered. He has. If there's a demon running around, it's because God allows it because of his own word. Are you with me? Let me just kind of give you some understanding. They're not doing anything. They're doing something because they are basically God's bound by his own word. So he's conquered sin in the spiritual. And Jesus has not eradicated sin in our physical world, because if as long as there's a sinner not saved by God, then there's sin around. Are you with me? And the reality is there are many people that have never accepted Christ, and that's who they are. But if you are someone right now and you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have conquered sin in the natural world and the spiritual world. Whether you're still dealing with your sin, that's a different thing. But the fact is you have power over that. We learned that from last week. Have a look at it. Verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In eternity past, before the world was created, God determined that he would create us. We are not an accident. Before the world was even designed, God understood and knew that he was going to create us. He planned for us. He planned for Christ. He planned to send his son to redeem us. He even planned and knew that we would be unholy. Are you with me? You know, sometimes we get this shock and we just think, you know, God, you know, when we sin, we do something wrong, we think, oh, God must be just, oh, I must have surprised them with how bad I am. Would you know what? He knows that you're going to be bad. He knows that you're going to be unholy. He planned us way before. This is not all an accident. This is a preconceived plan in eternity. This is what Ephesians is telling us. This is not something that God is surprised with. Jesus, our Savior, was planned before the world began. Are you with me? God took the risk, and I'll talk about that in a moment. Verse 5, having predestined us as to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. See, he planned before the earth was created that we would be adopted into his family. You got to pause on that for a second. Let me just pause on this. He planned that we would be adopted into his family. If you're a believer in his house, that's what happened to you. Not some mere subject under his rule, but adopted into his family. Are you with me? You want to look at one of the most amazing, I love, it's my favorite, one of the most amazing passages in the Bible, John 17, John chapter 17. And it's literally Christ's last prayer before the Garden of Gethsemane, in front of all his disciples, so they ever heard it and they recorded it, and it's Christ telling God, it's like a report card. He's saying to God, I did what I did. I've done everything you've sent me to do. And he's reporting to God on what he was called to do when he walked this earth, just before he went to the cross. And in that, he talks about the fact that him and God were talking about us before the world was created. Have a look at it. It was planned, it was purpose. And he said, just as we've got this relationship, and he says, just as you, God, and me have this incredible family love, he said, now I've allowed people to understand that that's been expanded to include them. Because human beings have been adopted into this incredible love between a father and a son. Are you with me? This adoption is you're talking spiritual blessings. The angels are like, what? God, you're going to do what? You're going to take a human being who's a sinner, who by all chances should have the wrath of God poured out on him, because we know how mighty and how incredible you are, Heavenly Father. And he goes, and through Jesus, the angels be going, you're going to take these people that accept Christ and you're going to accept them into the family. And the Bible goes on and says that once we are adopted into the family, that we're actually higher than they are. We're higher than any other spiritual being. And we come under Christ the Son as his family. Are you with me? You've got to understand, the whole of eternity has gone, oh my goodness. God's going to do this. God's going to create people and do this. And let me, I'm kind of off track, but I'm going to cover a few verses at once. And do you know what makes us like him? Do you know what makes us so different? Is our will. We get to choose to be that. Because that's what makes us like him, his family. Because he's not forcing us. I don't know how angels work. They were created. I don't know where their will sits. I'm not quite sure. Anyway, we'll leave that alone. But for us as beings created in his image and likeness, we get the choice. And that's why we are family, because you choose to be Christ's. Therefore, you choose to be in his family. Amen? Which means you're adopted. You step into an adoption relationship and suddenly you are family, which is just off the planet. And I know all eternity and all the angels, there would have been a gasp. But if you read on, there actually is a gasp in heaven. Because they just can't get it. Because the only reason that you can be included into God's family is what? You have to be perfect. Correct? You can't stand in God's family. You can't be a son and daughter of the King unless you are perfect. And the only way you're perfect is if you accept Christ and you accept his perfection. Amen? As soon as you do that, that's why you talk about other religions out there and they go, oh yeah, there's many ways at least to God. Well, the Bible was quite clear that Christ is the only one who lives sinless and the only one that laid down his life for us. Therefore, it is no other person that can give you that offer. And if they don't offer that, then I can tell you based on the Word of God, you will not stand before the Father. You will not be accepted into his family, because he's not offering you to be a subject. He's offering you to be in the family. And the only way to be in the family is to be perfect. And the only way to get there is to accept Christ. Amen? So when you accept that and you stand in that, you are standing in a spiritual family that God has been talking about you and I joining since before he created this earth and even created you. So he knows you. He knows you. Having predestined us to adoption, all right, as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So the big question is, why would he do this? Let's see. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us acceptable in the beloved. Kind of touched on this, but I tell you, to the praise of the glory of his grace. This is what I said. The unseen spiritual world, when this happened, they were in awe. And they're in awe because of God's grace. Because it was the glory of his grace. Like the whole of the spiritual world just went. They were just expecting, honestly, God, as soon as we sinned and we lived in our sin, to obliterate us. Because they know how holy and how righteous and how pure he is. So they're just going, these humans, man. Wow. And then when the redemption plan rolled out, Christ became our Savior, the whole spiritual world just, the big angels would have just gone, wow. And they would have looked at God and just gone, this is the biggest display that the universe has ever seen of the grace of God. Are you with me? That's what you've got. See, if you're standing here looking into a spiritual world, you've got angels and you've got demons who are afraid of you because you're part of God's family. Amen? Amen? Who are just like, that's what the God family. That's what Jesus' family. Oh, man. And some of you are just being conned. Amen? In your mind, you're thinking, oh, these big demons. Demons are like, man, if they just say one word from Christ, from his word, they've got all this authority. They've got family all over them. And he's doing everything he can to subdue you and get you to think you're something different and identify you with your sin and get you all bound up and get you not reading your word and knowing who you are. And the Apostle Paul was talking to Bay City Church because Christ told him to write a letter called Ephesians. Let's call it Rockdale. Rockdale chapter 1. All right? Rockdale chapter 1. Read it. We'll call it Sydney, okay? But Rockdale's good. From one city here. Rockdale chapter 1, he's saying, tell them, this is who they are in me. And when you get a hold of that, when you stand in that, when you realize that, when you stand that you have this identity, the spiritual world is just waiting for you. When you pray, they go, boom. When you do something, they go, boom. When you get God's word and you release it, they go, boom. Because you are God's family. They're not sitting there in fear. And some of you need to rise up and realize who you are. I'm talking to myself here. Are you with me? Gee, I'm loving the book of Ephesians. Who else is? Man. So pumped up. Jacked up and good to go. Where was I? To the praise. Okay, so we've got this scenario where all of heaven and the spiritual realm are just in gasp and wonder. Gasp and wonder. The greatest display of grace and mercy in all the universe. So how do we respond to that? To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The beloved mean part of the family. You know what we should do? We should just be praising God every day. Just like the universe is. They're just going, look at God. Look what God did. They're probably looking at us going, they don't deserve this. I don't know, there might be a little bit of jealousy there. I'm just thinking, what? Them? Getting all this? Why? I don't get it. We don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But you need to praise God. You need to wake up in the morning and say, God, I'm a Christian. God, all the authority that's running through and around my life because I am a believer. Man, I'm a new creation, God. You need to spring out of bed in the morning and go, devil, your worst nightmare is awake. You've had 8 hours. That's all you've had. Now I'm going to wreak havoc. All right, we still there? You should be amazed. You should be praising God. Let me just tell you something. I'll put this in here. We don't gather here on a Sunday to beg God for blessing. You with me? Honestly, we don't. Because the Word of God says we've had every spiritual blessing given to us. We don't come here to beg God for blessing. We come here to learn about what God's given us. And to praise him with all our hearts through incredible worship and thank him for what he's given us. Okay, now we're going to tip into Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 where Paul talks about and he explains about that's the blessing in the spiritual realm, right? Now we're talking about the blessing in this present. Are you okay with this? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. I'm going to look at the time. Whew, still on time. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mysteries of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Well done, guys. The first thing we're going to break up very quickly, verse 7, the first thing is we've learned that we have redemption through the blood of Christ. Okay, redemption simply means to be released from slavery, and it's all based, that word is based on Moses and the children of Israel. If you don't know the whole story of Moses, I haven't got time. Otherwise, we'll be in the book of Ephesians for 2 years. So I won't go through all of that. Just go rent out The Prince of Egypt and watch that cartoon for homework and watch the whole thing, and you'll see somewhere there where they paint blood on the doorpost, and you'll understand the whole story that we were slaves. That was a physical slave. The Egyptians were physical slaves, and they were saved through Moses and God. They came out of Egypt and they came out into the promised land. They were set free. The slavery that you have been set free from, the redemption that you have in your life, is sin. When you stand here prior to salvation, you are a sinner. All right? And you can't deal with your sin. You've got no other option. If you're a sinner, the only other option you can have to deal with your sin is to replace one sin with another sin. When you are a Christian, you've got a complete new nature. You have an option that is Christ. You can step out of your sin. You can choose Christ, a whole new option. But as a sinner, you have no other option. Let me explain that. Let's say you've been someone that steals a lot, and you don't know Christ. And let's say you actually deal with that habit in your life, in the natural. And normally what you'll do is you'll replace it with another sin called pride. Because everyone will come up to you and they'll go, "Hey, how did you, you know, you used to be a sinner." You'll go, "Oh man, I'm awesome. I'm awesome. Yeah, I got a book out. It's called How to Stop Flogging Things. 10 Ways by Andrew Harper to Not Shoplift." My last book was How to Shoplift 10 Ways. Now my new book is I've done it my way. And the saddest thing is people get to the end of their lives and it's all about them. You know what? All they've done is replace one sin with another sin, and that's the sin of pride, because pride is self-indulgence. You know what I mean? So it's not, so that there is no option for anyone. If you talk to someone who's progressed in life, I guarantee you, when you get to the heart of having a chat with them, if they're not a believer, there'll be a lot of pride. And the devil loves that, because quite often pride never allows them to surrender themselves to God because they think they're too good. So he loves that one. It's one of his favorites. Do you get me? But we as believers, we have an option now. We have an option through a new nature where God can actually deal with our sin, and we actually attribute that to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? So we can do that without recommitting a sin. Are you still with me? Going through this quickly. Am I going through too quick? Okay, so redemption of that. The next is, in this we read, is forgiveness. So he's talking about present blessings. The next is forgiveness. We have complete full forgiveness through Christ. It means that God won't bring our sins up again. Are you with me? And I know a lot of Christians get messed up with this, but God, you as a believer are not going to stand there in heaven, and God is not going to put down the DVD, the Luke Harris DVD, or the Naboth sin DVD. We're not going to all gather around and we're going to put this DVD on in heaven and show what that is. That's not the judgment that we're under. Are you with me? There is a judgment for believers, but it's more to do with your gifts and your talents and what you do with them. All right? Bible talks about it. How whatever you said, "I've done all this," and it'll burn it up at your feet, and it'll show you what you really did. But you're in heaven, all right? This is not about a physical judgment outside of this. You're standing. God is not going to get a movie and just go, "Way back then, Andrew, you did this, 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 and this." You know why? Because when you are saved, God has thrown that away. I tell you who hasn't thrown it away. That's the devil. He knows everything you've done in the past. He keeps a little file on you. He goes, "Oh, the Andrew Harper file. Whoa, this week. Wow, which one should I deal with? Wow, when he was 18, he did that. Why don't I bring that out? Are you with me? When he was 19, he did this. I'll bring that up." Are you with me? Some of you need to realize where this junk is coming from. Way back to that very first statement. When the enemy, he talks about your sin. He tries to identify you with your sin, past, present, future. Christ identifies you with, God identifies you with his Savior, Jesus Christ. I can talk about conviction here. God does talk to you If you're involved in sin, you'll get a conviction in God, but it'll be about you being better. It won't be all about the sin, it'll be about your Savior, about getting a hold of the Word and God transitioning you out of it. It's called progressive sanctification. I know I'm hitting with a lot of things. We talked about that last week, and you need to get the podcast. Because he knows you're dealing with sin, and he'll work through it, but he's not calling you, you sin. Is that all right? Freedom from redemption of sin and forgiveness of our sin frees us to a powerful life. Can I just tell you that those two alone in this present day and age are an incredible blessing? Do you know how many lives are locked up because they have no redemption for the sin and they've got no forgiveness? You know the amount of people that I run into that don't know God, and they start and they can't forgive themselves for things they've done. So you can't, it's very hard to forgive yourself if you think God's not forgiven you. But it's actually very easy to forgive yourself if you know that God has forgiven you. Are you with me? There are people that it's just, they've been held as like lions through redemption of sin, the slave to sin and this unforgiveness are just holding people back in life. And what God does is he comes in us as believers and he cuts those two lines to release us. Amen. Because he wants us to know that we are not what our past says we were. We've been released. And then he goes above and beyond, because God does. Are you still with me? Turn to the neighbor in addiction and go, wow, this is a lot to take in. Verse 7, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. You know what God's doing? So he does that, he cuts away, he deals with forgiveness, he deals with the redemption of sin, and then what he does is he lavishes us with his grace. He doesn't stop there. He pours grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Do you get that? And this is not coming from some person that you owed money to. This is who suddenly says, hey, you don't have to pay me back. This is God. When God lavishes you with unmerited favor, you are talking about incredible favor over your life. And I love this, but let me qualify this, because you're all thinking, well, then, if I'm lavish with this favor, then why don't I have all these prayers I've asked for? Why don't I have all these things? You know, why am I not driving that Ferrari? Some of you are thinking, was it just me? Did I just say that aloud, did I? Like I said that aloud. I should have said that. No, I don't want one of those. Not at all. Not at all. Do you know what he's talking about? Because he qualifies it. Just read this verse again. Everyone have a look at verse 7 again. Is it there? There it is. According to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound, lavish, towards us in all wisdom and prudence. You know what that means? There's a little qualifier there. Which means that God just knows that he just doesn't need to give you everything at the same time. You know what I mean? He uses wisdom and he uses prudence. Are you with me? That's why there are times, like, you know, if you knew that you were given everything, I've got a son, Aiden. Let's just say he's 9. And let's say I've been saving for him one day that he could be, you know, blessed, start a house. And I walk up to him at age 9 and go, son, I've been saving really hard. I think it's time for your future. Here's 50 grand. Aiden, what's Aiden going to do? EB Games, here he comes. He's going to upgrade the scooter. He's going to do whatever he thinks he can do with that money. He's going to be, wow, the lolly store, this, that. Dad, it's awesome. You know, I don't know. He'd probably do something very good, I'm sure. Put it in the bank. I don't know. But who knows? What were you like at 9? Yeah, goodbye, Dad, one of those. That would be good. See, you know what? So God knows. You've got a lot of favor in your life, but God actually isn't going to give you everything right now. You know what I mean? Sometimes that's why you say it. It doesn't mean you don't go expecting it and you go after in your heart. But sometimes if God answered our prayers, God answered my prayers 10 years ago, I'd be a mess now. Because you know what? I've just learned a little bit to realize that that's not what I really wanted. And if he gave me what I thought I wanted then, I wouldn't be where I am now. Amen? I mean, some people say, you know, I know it wouldn't happen to me, but they say that quite often when people win the lottery, they're not prepared for it, and 10 years later, they don't have it anymore. It's all gone, and they've lost their friends to begin with. That's like a statistic that's out there, because these people didn't build it. They got it up as a windfall, and God's like that. He's smart when it comes to areas in our life. He wants to see us grow and mature. We have progressive sanctification in our lives. He's working with that to his purpose and his plan. I'm not going to get to the next part. Because the last part I get into it is how Paul turned, how he talks about how God will bless us in the future. Next week. Why don't we stand to our feet? I'll get the musicians to come. Who's loving the book of Ephesians?